All right. Well, today is Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. We are talking about self-love as self-kindness. And for our opening, I turn to a piece called Today I Am Willing. Thy will, not my will. I'm willing to be willing. Breathing out my limited notions, breathing in your expansive reach, breathing out my attachments, breathing in your absolute abundance, breathing out resistance, breathing in allowing. Breathing out stagnation, breathing in your ever-present flow. Breathing out paralysis, breathing in movement. Breathing out separation, breathing in oneness of all energy. Breathing out loneliness, breathing in the willingness to reach out. Today, I am willing to do thy will. It's funny because that so directly relates to what you were saying, Ephraim, before we got started about having it be aligned with Source, God, Grace, the Greater Spirit. And what I realized in reading this is that there's always this way that I can tend to get stuck in my humanness and feel like, oh, I don't know what to do, or I'm up against the wall, or this is too hard, or I'm overwhelmed. And then just by reading a few lines about, hey, there's always another way, it's like, oh, that just feels so much better. And it doesn't say what to do or how to do it or anything like that, but it's like, oh, wait. What if I look at this from a different place? So, self-love as self-kindness. It seems like often when I'm talking to my clients about the whole realm of self-love, sometimes one of the more effective things to do is almost to observe myself or have my client observe themselves separate. Separate isn't the exact right word, but pull away. Don't be me. Be the observer of me. Does that make sense to you guys? And totally. Then, okay, cool. And from there, say, well, okay, so I, Anne, am observing that Anne over there, and she looks like she could use some self-kindness, so what does that look like? And somehow that observing does something different than when it's me being kind to me. So I just kind of wanted to open up the conversation around that and see if that resonates for you guys, what about it speaks to you? Does it give you a different access point?
It made me think about the idea of having an agenda.
Say more.
In the sense that if I can step away and observe myself from a place of compassion, without necessarily having to fix it or solve the problem, if there's a problem, but just to observe, I feel like I am more likely to gain insight and spaciousness and unpredictable answers. Does that make sense? Because if I step aside and observe myself with the intention of, and I don't know if this is totally true, with the intention of, gosh, I really don't want to be depressed anymore, then it's almost like I have to wade through that agenda to real compassion.
So the I don't want to be depressed anymore is the agenda, and that may or may not seem possible in that moment, but maybe self-compassion is more accessible?
Right. If I can really be the observer without judgment, maybe might be a better word than agenda, then I find that there's more spaciousness for surprising and often more interesting answers and possibilities. So it's almost like, of course, the thing in the back of my mind is, I'd really like to not be depressed, but my soul might have a completely different idea of what I need. And if I'm focused on something specific, then I might miss the larger possibility.
I totally get that.
And I realize that on one level, I'm talking about also what I want from other people. So it's almost like I'm putting an agenda on my observer to give me what I want from other people, which is, you know, spaciousness, and don't necessarily try to solve my problem right now, but give me room to be observed so that something outside of the usual pattern can be found.
How does that relate to the other people?
Because sometimes other people want to have their own agenda for what they think I need. And if they are playing the role of the observer, which to a degree they can, you know, because everyone's a mirror, as Gina would say, then if they have an agenda, then they're not necessarily leaving space for all of the possibilities. And you know how much I love possibilities.
Indeed. So really, it could be you who has the agenda, or it could be another person.
Yes.
Okay, I got it now. I see what you're saying.
Right.
And
sorry if I was getting all esoteric there.
Well, you know that is part of your charm.
Yeah.
So the idea being then that you bring a quality to yourself rather than you or somebody else bringing a, I think I know the solution.
Right, exactly. Because if I think I know the solution, and I'm probably already in the pattern that I've been in for however long, which gives me the same solution, which isn't a solution that's been working.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like in the realm of the known rather than the unknown.
Right.
Yeah, got it.
I also like the idea of the observer being compassionate, because I realize that sometimes I think of that observer as, you know, dispassionate. Like, okay, you know, I'm just observing and, you know, you can live or die, but I'm just watching.
So, an observer who cares.
Yeah, a compassionate observer.
Yeah.
I was just thinking about the observer who's like the itty bitty shitty committee, like making commentary on everything.
The observer who's judge and jury?
Yeah.
Okay. So we have compassionate, dispassionate is maybe in the middle, and then judge and jury is the other end of the spectrum?
Yeah, it's kind of like the positive, negative, and neutral minds.
Hmm. Yeah.
So like if the observer is neutral, there's no judgment either to the positive or the negative. It just is. So, I don't know.
I'm sitting here wondering, I wonder if that middle neutral one has the most advantage because all of the possibilities are there, positive and negative, maybe. And I'm also imagining the dark angel and the light angel with the other ones that sit on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I hear what you're saying, Ephraim, and that makes sense to my brain. But what I noticed is when you started talking about bringing compassion to the situation, I could just feel myself relax.
Yeah,
and
totally get
it. It seems like there's something important about maybe a container or the space.
Yeah, you know, I don't think that I necessarily see the compassionate observer as not neutral. You know, in the spectrum of judge and jury on one side, and then whatever is on the other side, I see like the neutral one as compassionate, but without agenda. It's like the judge and jury has an agenda of, I'm going to fuck you up, and you suck, and all of that stuff. And then the other one might be, no, you're great, and you've got this, and rah, rah, rah. And in my experience there, I have a lack of trust on both sides. Sometimes.
Yeah.
Certainly, most well, no, because I certainly find myself believing the judge and jury at times, and, you know, and then the positive you go, I'm more likely to, yeah, I certainly bring those into myself and try to believe them, and I wonder if either one of those is totally accurate, but maybe that idea of the neutral one, I like it with compassion, but just if the compassion makes spaciousness, then why not?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm super curious because I really get that rah, rah, you're so great, or judge and jury, hey, you suck. Maybe there's a way that, hey, you're so great isn't any better than, hey, you suck. This is not a very formed thought.
I know, because I don't want to think that. I want to think the, hey, you're so great is always accurate. and maybe it is. Although maybe not, you know, in a place where I might be wrapped up in my ego and think I'm all that, that you are great can be just as dangerous.
And maybe another issue with it is when you're not great, then it's naturally bad. So it seems like neutral, and particularly neutral with compassion, is show up here however you are, and I, whoever the I is, will hold you in this place.
Oh, that feels nice.
Yeah, I like that.
I think there's something there.
It takes you out of the binary of right and wrong or dark and light or all that
good
stuff.
And bad. Look, you're so good. Oops, you fell.
Yeah.
Now you're bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we all are we just are.
There.
We're being.
Yeah.
We're being. We're not. Yeah, there's not the whole adding the judgment on there of good, bad, right, wrong.
Well, and who's to say what's good or bad? It reminds me of that story, you know, about, I don't know, a son leaves his father's farm with a horse, but then he falls and breaks his leg, but then the son comes out. I'm doing a terrible job of telling the story. But the point is, as the story goes on, I think somebody is talking to the farmer whose son all of this is happening to. And so when he breaks his leg, the observer says, oh, well, that's bad. And the wise farmer says, well, we'll see. And then the son comes out and he's like, oh, that's good. Well, we'll see. And maybe more directly, a line from A Course in Miracles says, you don't know what anything means. So I think it gets to the same point. If, in fact, our horse breaks its leg, maybe we're to walk from there for a particular reason we didn't know and don't like, but that's exactly our path. See, I even wanted to say that's a wonderful thing, but then that's the assessment. So maybe jumping out of the entire assessment thing is a much wiser place. So that's interesting then, in coming back around to self-love as self-kindness, perhaps we leave out those kinds of things that say, oh, well, one of the ways I'm going to be kind to you now is to tell you how great you are. It's like, oh, wait, maybe one of the ways I'm going to be kind to you is be here with you, however you are.
Yeah. And what's interesting about the space of being with someone however they are is listening closely enough to know when you can say to someone, no, you are great, or you are beautiful, or to say, or to take them down a notch, or like, you're out of line here. Do you think that is part of the role of?
Of whom?
The person that is sitting with you.
I don't think that is. I suppose if something bubbles up, then it may be.
Right.
I actually was just scanning my own filled out worksheet for this, and the one that jumped out at me is, this was under the section of I could speak to myself more kindly by saying, and the one that jumps out with me is, I would say to myself, I see your light and I see your darkness and I love you wholeheartedly.
Ooh.
I want to add that to mine.
Please do. So, I don't know this for sure, but it seems like as much as possible getting out of this idea that we know what's good and we know what's bad.
Oh, yeah. I agree. And then at the same time, being bold enough to make that judgment when the time comes, or when the intuition strikes, or when it bubbles up to the surface. I realize that I'm sort of attached to the idea of, wait, I want to be told that I'm great.
Well, you know what's hilarious? I just wrote the content for next week, which is about, I used a very interesting word, self-advocating. So basically, ooh, championing your own greatness, which I find fascinating in the face of this conversation.
Yeah. Right.
We'll see if any of it applies by next week.
I know.
But I think there is a place for it. And the way I think there's a place for it is each of us is our own unique snowflake, right? So isn't it wonderful to have acknowledged the particular nature of our snowflakeness?
So acknowledging our snowflakeness through the compassionate neutral one, or also acknowledging it in, wow, that is a beautiful part of you. Like a gratitude and admiration, that talent is really great, or things like that, or all of it.
Yeah, everything you said sounds wonderful. What are you hearing, Janet?
What I was thinking was when you were talking, I kind of got stuck on the advocating for yourself, for your greatness or whatever, but you're just advocating for so that you can be you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're basically just standing up for your soul, your being, your.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to, you know, fall into, you know, trying to please everybody else and becoming like putting on a mask so you're not actually letting anybody see yourself. And whether it's great or not or whatever, it's just you.
Yeah, because I'll bet you if you're advocating wholeheartedly, it takes into account what we might consider our foibles or our unhealed stuff or our less mature stuff. But it's all a part of our human package. And on a really good day, we might live a little bit more of our really supreme spiritual package. But at any moment, we're also human.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
And I think that focus helps to take us out of the binary, too.
What focus specifically, Ephraim?
That that let's see. I guess to sum up what I heard, that looking at yourself as, you know, when you're advocating for yourself and advocating for your soul or whatever it is, it sort of takes out the right and wrong necessarily of it, but moves you into a place of what your soul wants.
Yes.
That makes sense to me.
Then when the judgments creep in. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just said that makes sense to me. I just said that.
And then what were you saying, Ephraim, about the judgment creeping in?
When the judgments creep in about what your soul wants, then maybe that is, that's where it becomes even more essential to try to stay in the compassionate neutral, because those judgments may or may not be rooted in, you know, past experiences, upbringing, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, it seems like there's something pretty central about the compassionate neutral, because really when we start to get into that right, wrong, good, bad, who are we to say what is and isn't?
Yeah, because sometimes when something's bad, with quotes, it's really the best thing that happens to you, because it shoots you in another direction, or it shoots you out of whatever's going on at the moment or something. I mean, and it may suck really bad, but it might be the best thing. But when we put that bad label on it, then you're like resisting it and struggling through it. Where if it was just kind of a neutral thing, well, this is going on right now. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Doesn't feel like my favorite, but who knows what it's up to?
Kind of just, I don't know, takes out a little bit of the, maybe the overthinking and the stressing parts about whatever it is. I don't know.
Especially if we don't feel capable of changing it at the moment. I think that's where the compassionate neutral is so important. Say we even do label it bad and now we're resisting the hell out of it, does it help to then get mean to ourselves because we're calling it bad and resisting it? You know, like, it's like there's already the turmoil of whatever that is, and now we're heaping on more suffering because we're not supposed to be in turmoil.
Right.
Right? So, I'm super curious, because the homework was around these lists. You know, I create the homework and then I do it myself to see what it is, and then we talk about it. And what I'm noticing is I had come up with these categories about I could speak to myself more kindly by saying, I could give myself a break by doing X, I could demonstrate my love for myself by, and so for example, one of my answers to I could demonstrate my love for myself by getting outside every day, and that's absolutely true. And when I'm outside, it's always wonderful, and I always feel like I'm taking care of myself. And that's kind of fundamentally different than what we're talking about right now. It seems like we almost boiled down how to be kind to ourselves almost no matter what, as opposed to a list of specifics. You know, maybe for you guys, getting outside every day is not a way you could demonstrate your love for yourself. Maybe it is. Maybe it depends on what you're doing outside. You know, that isn't necessarily universal, but it seems like what we're talking about might be universal.
You know, I think I like that. Maybe we have boiled down a way to be kind to ourselves, and then it's almost like the exercise gives us specifics, because I can say, be a compassionate, neutral observer, Ephraim, and in a moment of depression, that's going to mean nothing to me. But I can demonstrate my love for myself by going outside. I can look at that and be like, oh, I'm going to go outside.
Oh, I see. So maybe the worksheet is more like our action items, and maybe what we're talking about is sort of more a fundamental way of approaching things, as long as it's useful, because your point is, in some circumstances, it's not going to be useful.
Yeah, it's almost like, in a clear space, I could fall back on, oh, yeah, that spacious observer, no judgment, getting away from the black and white, that's fantastic. But when in my head I'm saying, you're the dumbest fuck that ever lived, then going to, I could speak to myself more kindly, gives me something really specific. Oh, yeah, this is the opposite of that, and I need that right now.
Yeah.
And when I'm in that space of super negativity or maybe super positivity, it's a lot less likely that I'm going to have access to, this overarching divine, compassionate, non-judgmental observer.
Sure.
But then in places when I can get there, I might come back to this exercise and fill out the list and be like, oh, what would that observer say to support me to give me a break or something like that?
Yeah.
One of the things that I like about you asking us to do the exercise more than once is the first time it's more of okay, I'm going to do this exercise and I want to get into it, and maybe I get into it pretty well, but then the next day, and I think I might have said this last time, the next day I might have more access to that observer or my soul, and if I do it again, then maybe I have even more access, and the practice like builds and gets me closer to the core of what it's about. Because the first time was maybe a little uncomfortable, or maybe I was looking over my shoulder thinking, who's going to look at this, or, who knows? It's just, I'm still in my own way.
Yeah, it's almost like you're peeling back the layers of the onion. I get that.
And then at the center of the onion is that lovely energy of, oh, wow, hey, there you are.
So would either of you like to share, when you did do the exercise, what came up for you?
When I did it, well, go ahead, Ephraim.
No, you go ahead.
All right. When I did it, it took me a little bit to even be able to write anything down. But then once I started writing, it seemed like it just kind of flowed, and I was like, oh, yeah, this all makes total sense to me.
Huh.
It was just kind of weird. I kept looking at it going, what am I going to say? I don't know. And there were a few things in it that surprised me that kind of came out. I don't know. It was just kind of interesting to observe it. And so I can see, like, how Ephraim was saying, like, every day you're in kind of a different mind frame, so it's going to be different almost every day. And to me, I don't know that I'd totally change it every day, but I might add to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Would you like to share one of the surprising ones?
Sure. Like on the ways to give myself a break, it was just the one course, the one I liked the best was to take time for unapologetic fun.
That's so you.
But, you know, and sometimes, you know, I'm always about having fun, but then sometimes I beat myself up for it because I should have been doing some work instead or, you know, that was really fun, but now, damn it, I should have been working or something. And so I don't want to apologize for it.
Yeah. So the unapologetic part was surprising to you?
A little bit, even though I know, like, last year when we did my Court of Desired Feelings, that was one of them, but it's been funny this whole year. It's the one I forget. Like, if some of the Court of Desired Feelings are, I forget that one. And so, obviously, it's time for it to come to the front.
Yeah, because there it is again. Very cool.
So that was one. And then, like, the ways to demonstrate my love for myself. I mean, the best one to me was saying no if it's not a hell yes.
Nice.
Because I'm always, oh, well, yeah, sure, I can do that. Yeah.
Adaptability at work.
Yep.
In overdrive.
Yep. And so now I'm starting to learn that I don't want to be that person that goes, God damn it, why did I tell them yes? Ah, I don't
want to
do this.
Nice. Ephraim, what did you want to share?
The first one was the hardest one for me because I have not been very good at that lately. But I have started doing some mirror work that Gina told me to do. And I look at myself in the mirror and say that I love you. And that has been a surprising relief from the usual inner discourse. And fairly emotional. I haven't done it very many times. I'm not doing it every day necessarily. And yet when it happens, it's surprising. And it's much more startling to my system when I do it like almost out of desperation of, wow, I'm not in a really good place. I need to do something different. And then look at myself in the mirror and say, I love you. It's like, okay, now I need to sit down.
Oh, wow. Wow.
But other than that, I had trouble coming up with other kind things to say, which is not surprising in the state that I've been in, but also surprising.
Yeah.
A lot of giving myself a break was around accepting my negative and harder spaces. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe I'm depressed and maybe I'm in pain and maybe I have some anger and maybe all of those things are there. And most of the time I beat myself up about those things or I don't accept them or believe that they should even exist. And I'm someone who thinks that they should exist. So when I'm in that place, it's like, oh, I do have trouble with that. So how about give yourself a break and do that even more? Without beating yourself up for failing at it.
Ah, the trick.
A lot of my demonstrations of love were like easy little things. you know, little things like writing some poem or writing a poem or whatever it is that often helps bring me, reconnects me with my magical self.
I think this is such a rich inquiry, because to see that it's challenging, to see that it's surprising. I have done the mirror work on Gina's prompting too, and not often, and every time I do, I'm surprised at how powerful it is. And I think, you know, we don't have a lot of natural external support for this, and it does seem to make a big difference. So I think it's worthy of giving some more time and attention. You know, I was surprised when I made the outline for what exactly is strong from within, and there was both self-care and self-love. Like, well, that seems like overkill. And what a funny thing to even think. You know? So,
totally.
Just, you know, a little indication of, wow, we really have very little thinking around this, training around this. And truly, what could be more important? Because no matter how much time we spend with our few closest loved ones, it's not nearly as much time as we spend with ourselves. And to be a little bit more aware of really caring for ourselves and loving ourselves, geez, what a difference it could make. So thank you for being willing to participate in this so fully and really share what's going on for you. So I think I'd like
great.
To... What's that?
It was great.
Yay, thank you.
It was, thank you.
You're welcome. And oftentimes I'll close with a piece of what I read originally, but I'm feeling more inspired. I noticed the word wholeheartedly keeps jumping off of my page, and so I just want to close with a little something around that. And maybe what we could do is to co-create it. We could just go around the space and each of us say something that a sentence, a closing prayer sentence that incorporates wholeheartedly. And since I created this, I will start. Let's see what comes out. I love the idea of wholeheartedly paying attention to myself.
I love the idea of wholeheartedly accepting myself.
I'm liking the idea of wholeheartedly being myself.
Ooh, yay. So I totally forgot the one I said. Anybody remember?
I was just trying to remember.
Great.
Wasn't it something about wholeheartedly observing, or not observing, but awareness or something?
Boy, oh boy. Let's let it go. We're back to the beginning, where if it's gone, it's gone. So
I think it was
there's
listen.
A recording.
What did you say, Ephraim?
I think it was listen.
Well, let's pretend it was. Okay. And Ephraim, what was yours?
Accept.
So listen, accept, and be. So here we are being more aware of wholeheartedly listening to ourselves, wholeheartedly accepting ourselves, and wholeheartedly being ourselves. Ho.
Ho.
Thank you guys for co-creating such a sweet space.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. Thank you, Ephraim.
Nice to see you, hear you.
All righty. Good night for now.
Okay. Good night.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.